In the bustling streets and quiet highways of America, there exists a romance as enduring as any Shakespearean tale. A love affair with automobiles. But now, a shadow looms over this cherished relationship, cast by none other than President Joe Biden himself. The recent decree from the Environmental Protection Agency signals a seismic shift in the automotive landscape, a shift towards the inevitable dominance of electric cars. Yet beneath the veneer of gentle encouragement lies a stark reality, a de facto ban on gasoline-powered vehicles. By 2027, the government aims to restrict the sale of internal combustion engines to a mere fraction of what it is today. What was once the heartbeat of American mobility will be relegated to the annals of history, reserved for the privileged few. At the heart of this crusade lies a chorus of progressive voices emboldened by their fervent dedication to the climate cause. Yet their cheers are drowned out by the cacophony of dissent from all corners of the nation. Auto dealers, manufacturers, and even state attorneys general stand united against this overreach, decrying it as unrealistic and unsustainable. For many Americans, this isn't just about cars. It's about a way of life. They understand that electric vehicles cannot withstand the harsh winters of Wisconsin or the rugged terrains of Montana. It's a ban that threatens not just transportation, but entire lifestyles built around reliability and power, farming, hunting, and outdoor adventures. In the political arena, this decree becomes a potent weapon, primed for exploitation. President Biden's opponents waste no time in framing it as an assault on freedom, a government intrusion into personal choice. With slogans like, "They're coming for your truck," the battle lines are drawn, setting the stage for a showdown of ideologies. Even within Democratic ranks, there are murmurs of discontent. Some lawmakers, wary of the electoral ramifications, hesitate to fully embrace the president's agenda. Republicans, sensing an opportunity, rally their forces to challenge the ban through legislative means, leveraging every tool at their disposal. In this clash of visions, the stakes couldn't be higher. It's not merely about cars. It's about fundamental freedoms and the very essence of American identity. President Biden may have unwittingly handed his opponents a powerful cudgel, one that threatens to reshape the political landscape for years to come. But I am curious, can we get a few man-in-the-street opinions?
I don't believe this issue will have any traction. People won't care about anything that isn't going to happen before 2027. By then, the Supreme Court will have erased Chevron deference, and some other lawsuit taking advantage of that will have zeroed out this new EPA rule. It's just eyewash for Joe's base.
60% opposed? Fine by us. Americans are tired of being told how to live. They'll get used to it, LOL. Dang those torpedoes in full speed ahead, and they wonder why they're losing and losing badly.
Biden and crew don't just want your gas-powered vehicles. The electric cars are a Trojan horse. It is just a step to full mass transit. The end game is empty garages. We will all be urbanites depending on all forms of mass transit to get around. Don't underestimate how deep the rot goes.
Looks like they are going for broke, trying to slide the green old deal through while they still have the numbers. But do they? Not according to Rasmussen. We can probably expect a noisy campaign to sell this and other parts of their package. So this will be a year when it is more important than usual to be skeptical about what the words mean.
Over 180,000 miles optimistic lifetime, midsize sedan, CO2 equal ICE 73 tons, hybrid 54 tons, plug-in hybrid 46 tons, EV 39 tons. The EV CO2 is very sensitive to battery life and electricity source, unlike the former three alternatives. The EV has a very high initial manufacture CO2 footprint, and if the electricity source is mostly natural gas, and if the batteries go kaput well before 180,000 miles, then the CO2 over its lifetime is about that of a hybrid. Wind and solar are not dispatchable 24/7, 365 days a year, so the swing power to charge an EV is likely to be natural gas, especially at night.
Our current grid and local power sources are frequently inadequate with outages, and my state has 1% EV use. Democrats are delusional.
I watched a YouTube video on why Texas could become even a bigger economy than California. One point that was made was that Texas now produces more wind power than any other state. Imagine that. The number of Teslas in the state has to be growing. Back 2021 to 2022 period, Texas was third largest state for sales of Teslas. My guess is that it is number two now, still behind California. Judging by the numbers of Teslas I see, folks are voting with their feet. Battery prices are falling dramatically even as they gain range and durability.
Let me know when an EV truck that can actually perform like a truck underprices an ICE truck.
My goodness, Greg, you tout the MSNBC mantra with gusto. How do you expect to get your stakes without a pickup?
In my 80-year lifetime, new cars and trucks have never gone down in price ever.
You can have my truck when you can pry it from my cold, dead hands. As long as your tax dollars are subsidizing the EV transition, we're happy.
You know that scene in all the old costume drama movies where the peasants revolt and pull the lord off his horse with agricultural billhooks? Progressive greenies are setting themselves up for a high-tech version of that because of their ever-increasing control freak behavior.
Biden/Harris/Rice/Dr. Jill administration always scheming to make life worse for the average American. Too bad the Republicans only have Trump. Any other Republican would trounce old man Joe and his loser of an administration.
By the way, here in CA, using a fast charger costs more per mile than using an efficient diesel engine car. I own both. $5 per gallon, 31 mpg for my diesel. 2.6 mi/kWh for my EV, 58 cents per kilowatt hour for fast charging. Here is Southern California last weekend. You can do the math.
But you are saving the world?
Where do you put all of the spent batteries? EVs may be great on power, but the cost of replacing batteries and disposal is prohibitive.
Enjoy your electric vehicles. Let us know where your battery goes once you're done with it.
The United Auto Workers leadership is either ignoring or does not know the facts. Electric-driven cars have only around 10% of the parts combustion-driven cars have. Less parts means less assembly work. Less assembly work means less people. Less people means a decline in the union membership. A decline in the union membership means less dues being paid to the union contributions. At the end, the United Auto Workers leadership is cutting down the branch they're sitting on, and they do not realize it.
They will eventually.
Kim, today's Democratic Party is entirely dedicated to the proposition that all Americans should be told how to live. Exactly. Spot on. I rarely agree with Kimberly, but have to admit she hit the nail on the head. Now the question is, where can we find someone asking the question, why are Americans so divided? Put the two together and you have the proverbial nutshell.
As a retired judge and a dedicated environmentalist, I understand the importance of transitioning to cleaner, more sustainable transportation options. However, I'm deeply concerned about the lack of consideration for the practical challenges and individual freedoms in this push for electric vehicles. While I support efforts to reduce carbon emissions, it's crucial that we respect people's choices and lifestyles. We must find a balance between environmental progress and personal autonomy to ensure a brighter future for both our planet and our communities.